This is episode number 19 of the Interactive Distractions Podcast for the week of March 31st, 2008. It's time for me to Coming up on this week's episode, we've got this week's distractions, gaming news, we've got our feature on digital distribution, new releases, listener email, and voluptuous question of the week.
Hello and welcome to episode number 19 of the Interactive Distractions Podcast.
Thank you, Chris.
You are welcome, Jason. I am Chris.
We are now legal to drink in Canada.
Really?
Really? 19?
19?
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, in Ontario, actually, it's as low as 18 in some provinces.
To the Lord. Yeah, 21 here.
21 here.
Yeah, I know it sucks.
It does suck. But it doesn't suck for me anymore because I'm not, you know, under 21.
Well, exactly.
I am far past that age. Oh, God.
Jason, I'm older than you. Shut the hell up.
That's true. I didn't want to say anything, Chris, but, you know, all right.
Yeah, I'm the fogey here. I got all the gray hair. It's cool. I am Chris Riccio, and I am here with Jason A. Stryker.
Hello.
And Jeff Chorney.
What's happening?
And what's going on, guys? Jason, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Busy. Lots of projects going on outside of the in this thing, and I want to just, like, spill my guts, but I can't yet. So, keeping the lid tight. But, I'm keeping very busy.
You're not leaving us, are you, Jason?
No.
All right, good.
Shh.
Because that's a very nasty and violent thing to you if you were to, you know, choose to go down a different path.
Well, thank you, Chris, or Jeff, or whoever the hell you are.
You know, the other guy with the just sound. Remember that?
Exactly. Susan.
Jeff, how are you, man?
Susan?
I'm good.
Set.
All right. Same thing, works really busy. Haven't had too much time to play games, but... Kind of keeping track of stuff going on when I can. That's about it, really. It's been pretty boring last week for me.
Have you been keeping up on news and stuff?
Yeah. Half-assed, cool. But hey, it gets done.
Because I haven't been. I rely on you every week. I really do.
That's probably a bad idea.
He's lying. He's on Kotaku every day looking to see what's going on.
Yeah, pretty much.
He sends me articles, like, hourly. Hey, check this out.
Yeah, all the time.
Because, you know, Kotaku updates every 5 minutes, so...
Right. I gotta keep my homies in the know.
Homies, represent!
Nice. G-U.
Well, G-U-N-I-T!
Sorry. Common theme, not much on this end either. I finished modding my PS2. I can now put games on my hard drive. And cool. I successfully put a Japanese game on my hard drive. So that was the entire point of the whole thing, so...
Scandalous.
And I don't know. I don't think I have anything else of interest to tell you guys.
Yeah, we just recorded a few days ago.
Yeah, so it's only been like 4 days. Like, so not much has gone. Hey, I bowled a 625 series last night.
Hot damn!
Gives a shit, but
I don't even know what that means. But congratulations!
Yeah. In three games, I knocked down 625 pins.
Good.
I got a
in
two
games. What's a perfect game? Like 300.
Perfect game is 300.
300.
Oh, and one of my teammates.
So how's that? Okay.
One of my teammates shot a 279.
Nice.
Do you shoot it or you throw it?
Same thing.
Because that would be kind of awesome if you had like cannons.
Just shot them down there.
No, people are in the back with sniper rifles, picking off the single pins that pop up.
It'd be cool to throw midgets.
You get like a 7-10 split. You're like
throw midgets.
A sniper.
Seriously,
that would be cool
midget
too.
Bowling.
Midget bowling. That's awesome. got a kind of cool announcement from talked to Glenn during the week, and
did you?
I did, and you remember when he was on the show? He was talking about how there was going to be something, some big announcement that they were going to make.
Did he actually say that on the show, or just kind of to us?
Well, he said that there was an announcement to make on the show. I think.
Okay.
I'd have to go back and listen again. I don't remember. But
either way, it's time for the announcement.
It is time for the announcement. And this is also the reason that we waited until 3 o'clock to post the podcast.
Sorry, guys.
But it turns out that the PlayStation Nation podcast is now the official podcast of PS3 Fanboy.
Wow.
Ooh. Yeah.
Congrats.
So I wanted to congratulate.
Big congratulations.
Yeah, big congratulations to them. They've worked very hard. They've been doing it for over a year now.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys heard about this, but... this episode that they just did this week is Jared's last show because he's moving on to to pursue acting, I believe he said. Okay. So, Jared, good luck to you.
Good luck, man.
Absolutely. And congratulations, Glenn and Mark, mm-hmm. for moving to the official PS3 Fanboy podcast. That's really awesome.
I know. They deserve it. That's cool.
Yeah, they very much deserve it. It's a great podcast. If you are listening to this podcast and you only have a PS3, you should be listening to that podcast, too.
Yes.
So, if you have a PS3 at all, you should be listening to that podcast, too.
If you only have a 3DO, you should listen to their podcast. If you only have an Atari Jaguar, well, then you need help.
That's right. If you only have a CDI, stop listening now. Okay.
Yes, don't listen to anything because we don't want you around.
But yeah, I just wanted to throw out a congratulations to them. And
hell yeah.
You know, we're very lucky to be associated with VG Evo and to be associated with those guys over there at PlayStation Nation. They're great guys. We've gotten a chance to talk to them on several occasions, and you know, I look forward to hearing more from them after mm-hmm. they make the transition. Good luck to you.
So exciting.
It is.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
When do we get to call them sellouts? Awesome.
Sellouts.
That's right.
Well, no, he did say...
You guys sold out to the man.
He did say that nothing is changing as far as VG Evo goes.
Oh, I know.
So they're still going to be part of VG Evo then. Yeah, that's
very
good.
Very much still a part of VG Evo. I would say they're definitely an anchor podcast for that site. And, You know, they're the reason that I went to VG Evo for the first time. Mm-hmm. Personally, so but yeah, so there you go. Look forward to hearing more about that.
Kick ass.
Well, I know it's been a short game playing week, but
yeah,
Jason, what's distracting you for the past 4 days?
A little bit. We did our Warhawk Wednesday, so I got to play that a little bit.
Son of a bitch, I forgot about that.
How
yeah,
can you
know?
It's a tried and true tradition now.
Yeah,
I know. I went to the Raptor game. One of the Raptor Detroit Pistons game last night, so that's why I missed it.
Oh, well.
Oh, okay. Fair
enough. And Raptors won. Woo! Yeah.
Woo! I was so hoping.
Yeah, because, you know, basketball is such an interesting sport.
I didn't get to play Warhawk too much. Something's going on with my mic, dude. Like, I can't chat in-game. Like,
yeah,
apparently
I
hold down
on
the L3.
Yeah, and I hate the chat, Warhawk.
I don't know. Nobody can hear me or something. It works outside of the game, but I don't know what's going on. Oh, Crisis Core. Hello.
Hey, Crisis Core.
I wish I could talk more about it right now. I can't. I can say that I'm loving it so far. I'm only a couple hours in. I've only done like the first major mission and then some of the side jobs, actually a lot of those, which mm-hmm. have been occupying a majority of my time. It's a lot of fun, though. It's done really
How
well.
How are the environments keeping up? Are they repeating quite a bit? That's like,
yep.
I've heard that's like kind of a knock, yeah?
Yeah.
What are the missions?
Yeah. We're talking about a portable game, so it's tough to knock it for that. I kind of kicked myself in the ass because I was getting really critical. I'm like, this is just not up to snuff. But then I'm like, shit, it is a portable game, you know?
Yeah.
And they've got a lot of audio in it and, you know, huge CG sequences. So I can't fault it for that. One thing that I really want to note that I haven't seen anybody really talk about is that there's no, like, load time. It's masked extremely well when you hop into a battle.
Really?
So, yeah, you don't cut into, like, a transition sequence or anything like that. It's just where you're at. Enemies kind of pop up. Voice says, you know, battle mode activated or something like that. And you fight right then and there. And then as soon as you're done, you're in the same spot that you were at the end of the battle. It's awesome.
That's,
Yeah. PC. Actually, I've been playing a lot of that because I upgraded it recently. So I've been trying out things here and there. I got Vampire the Masquerade, Bloodlines. I've been hearing lots of cool stuff about it. And so far, it's pretty fun. I used to play the pen and paper back in the day. Yes, nerd, but I can take it. Aside from that, popped in Audio Surfer a bit last night. That kept me busy. Oh, shit, I actually got motion sick from that. I got to a part of the stage where it actually did like a loop-de-loop, and I'm like, holy fuck, what is going on? My wife got all worried and shit, and I'm like, I don't feel so good.
On Audio Surf? That's weird.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I still need to download that game. You were telling me about it, and I watched some videos from it, and I'm like, man, this does look pretty cool.
It is neat. Love it.
So I'll have to check it out. And I like that it uses your own music, too, so.
I love that feature. I was playing some Disney stuff, and I was playing some Devil May Cry stuff, and just trying all kinds of different tracks. But aside from that, I think that's about it. It's been a short week so far. Yeah, like we said, 4 days. So. Yeah.
Well, cool. Yeah. Jeff, what you got?
Honestly, almost nothing. PS3, Armia 2, I played it like two more times after that. I got back online with BSV again, and we played another few missions, and again, we couldn't get the voice chat to work. I'm not sure if it was something to do on my end or his end, or just the voice chat in that game. Haven't had a chance to try with anyone else yet to give it a shot. I don't want to play with any random, so I was like, well, if I see someone online with it on my friends list playing, I'll ask them, but if not, I'm not going to bother them. The game overall, it's fun. I'd recommend it to rent for most people. It didn't give me that drive to keep playing. Like, even though it was fun to play cooperative, I didn't like get home from work. I'm like, you know what? I want to continue on Armia 2 and see where it goes. I just kind of was like, kind of been here, done that before. I mean, it's got some cool dialogue between the two characters and stuff, but it didn't do anything that much new to want to keep my interest for that long. I haven't played it. I think I have to return it on Saturday or Sunday, and I haven't played it, haven't touched it since Monday night. Yeah. So I'll see. Maybe tonight. Maybe I'll play a little bit over the weekend. But that was it for PS3. 360, the, of course, standard Rock Band. I pick that up all the time every once in a while. Knock out a few songs on drums. I've come to the conclusion I'm not going to play on drums. I want to get really good, so I'm not playing anything below hard, unless it's a Metallica song. Chinese. So I can do two Metallica songs now on hard. I can do Enter Sandman now on hard and get like in the 90s. And Just for All, not quite. Maybe like mid-80s, but I'm kind of working it one song at a time. And I downloaded that Thrash pack. Did you guys get that?
No.
It's if you like heavy, now Chris, you don't like it. I'm not sure about you, Jason, but it's really heavy, like hardcore music. It's a lot of like good luck to whoever's going to be singing this in Rock Band. I can't see too many people wanting to try because it's basically all screaming. It's not hard to sing it in terms of a score because there's literally no melody or pitch. It's basically you're kind of like screaming the whole thing. But some of these songs, yeah, the drums and the guitar is just insane.
Good. Like, I saw a couple videos of them on YouTube.
Yeah,
and actually, someone on GLF posted one of them, and I can't remember what song it was, but it was nuts.
That's
man.
Gates,
it was, I mean, you, it's the strum bar is going to be heating up because you're going to be moving it so fast.
Yeah, and drums is crazy. I thought Metallica was hard drums. Like, you put drums on Harder Expert in some of these, and you're just like, what the hell?
Oh, it's worse.
It's impossible. Oh God, yeah.
You got to check out some of these videos, man. It's pretty mad.
Yeah, right. So I mean, it's definitely not for everyone because of the music, but they are fun to play if you can keep up, and if you set it to medium or easy, they're still fun. It's just, but yeah, it's like there's no way I'm going to be able to do that on hard, but they're cool. I dig that kind of music. The problem is like not too many people that play the game really do, especially the singing aspect of it. But hey, I think it's worth the download.
Yeah,
played some Call of Duty 4. Got back into that. I think it was like Monday. Same old, same old. Still good. Actually popped in Halo 3 again with all the talk with the new maps coming out. And surprisingly, I went into it because I have not played Halo 3 in months, probably 2 months or so. And I went in there thinking I'm just going to get my ass torn apart and there's going to be a bunch of little kids and stuff like screaming obscenities and curses in my ear and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And surprisingly, it wasn't like that at all. The first game I went into, it's like, all right, and I kind of held my own. Wasn't the best, wasn't the worst, somewhere in the middle. But I wasn't playing ranked matches, mind you, because I knew that's where most of the dickheads kind of hang out. So I did the social playlists. Second game, I went in, and I noticed they changed the playlist around. There's this new game type called Team Duel, and I had no idea what that meant. So I get into the lobby, and, you know, sitting there, I'm like, all right, and none of my friends are with me. I'm with a bunch of randoms. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know what this is. And all the people are talking stuff and kind of trash talking each other, but in like a good way, not like that asshole. Like, I'm going to fucking kill you, you faggot. Like, not in that kind of way. But so I'm sitting there. I'm like, it goes kind of, everyone's kind of talking. I'm like, what is this Team Duels? Everyone keeps saying to skip it, to veto it. I'm like, so before I veto it, I'm like, what's Team Duels? And then the whole room went silent. And I went, oh, fuck, here it comes. Oh, my God. This is it. You noob, what are you? You noob.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so I was expecting this. And then all of a sudden, just one guy just speaks up. He's like, oh, it's just like Team Deathmatch, but you can only use dual-wielding weapons. And then it was silent. And I'm like, that's pretty gay. And then everyone just started laughing. Like, yeah, see, I haven't even played it, and you know it sucks. Veto that shit. So, of course, we vetoed it and went on to the next map. But I still like Halo. I still think you guys need to get on there, and we need to get some people we know all playing. And I think you guys will realize that it is actually a really good multiplayer game. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I don't deny that it's a good multiplayer game. I suck really bad. And I don't know, the fun factor, kind of low for me when I'm getting my ass kicked.
That's why you got to play with people you know, and we'll invite more sucky people, and then
shit, dude. I play with my son, and he smokes me. Like, he's just malicious about it. Like, you know, any time I've ever grounded him, it's come out in Halo. You know? I look back at him. I'm like, how is this even fun for you? And he's just got this big smile on his face. I'm like, oh, shit.
That's funny.
Nice.
What else do I plan? Play a little bit of Lost Odyssey. I'm stuck at a part, same part. I think I talked about that last, 4 days ago. Haven't tried it again since. That's basically it. I picked up Crisis Core, but like I said, I'm saving that for my trip, for the plane ride. So it's kind of tempting me. It's sitting there. I actually went to play it the night I got it because I was kind of bored, and I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to put it on for the first 20 minutes. I just want to see what the opening introduction is, cinematics, and play for 10 minutes just to get a feel of the game. And then I realized my PSP was dead. Oh, and man. I left my charger at Tanya's, so I didn't have the charger. And I have my PSP set to so it can't charge on USB. I don't know why I did that. I guess just because I was sick of every time I put it into USB, it starts charging, and I was afraid it's going to kill the battery. So basically, I have no way of charging it until probably the weekend or
nice
whenever. But yeah, that's about it for me.
Cool.
That's not bad.
Let's see. For me, it's been a pretty slow week, too. As Jason said, we did Warhawk Wednesday last night, and let's see, who was it, Jason? It was me, you, Eamon, and Only One showed up.
Yeah.
Jeff, you know Only One.
Oh, yeah, I played Warhawk with Only One. Yeah, he's really good.
God, he came on and just, like, owned us. It was horrifying.
Were you guys playing teams, or?
In his defense, he would tell us exactly how he owned us, you know? It's like, I just chucked up this lightning weapon and shot you with it, and then you got hit for, like, seconds on end. Pretty cool, yeah. Huh?
He taught me that, too. That was, like, a few days after the game launched. I remember playing with him and Clown from the boards and a couple other people. And it was at that time, no one was really that much better than everyone else because it was still relatively new. But right. Where he told me a few tricks like that. The lightning gun thing was awesome.
I try to use the lightning gun. And it's just that I'm still getting – I still can't fly the Warhawk very well. Because, and apparently I need to switch my controls around.
You're not using the shit axis, are you?
No, not anymore. But I do need to switch my controls around after talking to some people on VG Evo. But, cause you have to lock on to them for a good amount of time. You need to keep them in your sights. And, you know, I just haven't gotten good enough at flying the Warhawk to successfully pull off firing that damn thing. Cause you have to keep them in your sights.
Lightning one?
Lightning, yeah.
Now, the lightning one's not too bad because it kind of has an auto aim. Like, you charge it up, you can charge it up without having anyone aiming. You can charge it up whenever you can be flying around charging it up.
Oh, really?
As long as you fire in the general direction, most of the time it does hit. As long as, like, you're kind of, you don't have to really lock on with it, at least unless they change something. I know with the big missiles you have to lock on, but with the lightning gun you can just kind of aim in general direction and kind of hit. It's kind of like a wide area.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'll have to, I'm probably going to jump on, you know, and start a room by myself and just practice flying around for a while. I really think that's what I need to do.
Yeah, you need to practice that and practice sharp turns. You know how to do that?
Yeah, the air brake.
Yeah. You got to use that a lot if you want to get good at dogfighting.
It's really hard for me, though, because I'm not good at using both of the shoulder buttons at the same time on each side.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I got to get used to that.
I'm usually used to just having one finger up on top, so it's tough.
Same here.
I think the two. I have trouble with the air brake. Like, I can do it pretty consistently. It's just that I overcompensate and end up overshooting. You know, because you do a flyby on someone, then you got to use the air brake to turn around or whatever, and I always overturn. It's just nasty.
Yeah, I still have to remember to use it, because a lot of times I'll be like, oh, yeah, I can turn around sharper if I use the air brake, and I always just forget about it, so... you know, it comes with experience, and, you know, I think at this point I have about 5 hours worth of it, and that's not enough, so...
We'll get there, man.
I have realized that I am a much better ground fighter than I am an air fighter, so... it was funny, yesterday Jason got killed. I don't remember how you died, Jason, but he reappeared, like, in the same area of the map that I did. And I was inside one of the small buildings, and he runs inside and doesn't see me, and I just knifed him. He, like, ran right into my knife. But, that was very few highlights for me in the game last night. That was
mine was chasing after your Warhawk with my knife. That was great. But the best part was Ricky actually accidentally like ran in front of me while I was like slashing wildly with my knife, and he ended up dying. Because I was looking up. I didn't even see Ricky. All I saw was Chris, you know. I'm waving my knife at him. And then all of a sudden, Unistrike kills. Amen.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
My only highlight was that I got into a one-on-one ground battle with only one, and I won. I was like, yeah, sure, that'll never happen again, but that's okay. But yeah, we had fun, and I had my fun and my frustrations at the same time. So
frustrations? Like the time when you actually started screaming over the mic, why the fuck do I even play this game?
Yeah.
So I let him actually go for a little while because, you know, Lisa was like, honey, why don't you let him be for a little while till he gets, you know. I'm like, all right, fine.
I got sympathy from Lisa. That's fucking awesome.
And then 3 seconds later, you know who fucking killed me? Chris. Yeah.
And then you get
sympathy
mad.
Was over at that point.
Yeah. It's on, bitch.
Yep.
Yeah. The last game was kind of iffy because it was like, it was Jason and I, and then every once in a while, Eamon would show up. And it's like, he was in and out with the connection the whole time.
Yeah.
Overall, it was fun, and we're gonna try and keep doing it, I think. So, let's see. PSP, played some more Patapon, and I too picked up Crisis Core. I've only played about a half an hour of it. Jason, how long is your flight?
I don't have a flight.
I'm sorry, Jeff. The other Ja.
It's I think it's
Susan. How long is your flight?
four and a half hours, somewhere around there.
The reason I ask is because Crisis Core is supposed to be 20 to 30 hours.
Oh, really?
I heard
yeah,
like
so you might want to start.
Maybe I'll just start it
now. Yeah, I heard if you not? Do none of the side quests, it comes in at like 15 to 20 hours.
Well, I'm going to want to do the side quests. I heard that's where you get all the good materia and get summons and stuff from.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, same here.
Well, you're not really doing anything fun on your trip, so it'll be
no,
nice.
No, of
to
course
have.
Not. No, it's going to suck.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the cinematics are really awesome. I was impressed. You know, the first video scene that popped up, I was like, man, this is...
Do you guys know if you can somehow turn on the power of the PSP with the USB without actually turning on the PSP? That makes sense? Does that come out properly?
Yeah. Like charging it without actually turning it on, right?
Or like, no, because I have my setting, like I said, the USB setting, I have it set for so it doesn't charge when you plug it into a USB port. I want to know if there's a way you can turn that on... somehow with it being connect, does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
Like, you know how like the PS3, you can reset all the settings without having it actually connected to like a TV or something like that. Like, mm-hmm. So you have all the settings for like HDMI and all
that
stuff.
And then you hold down the power button for a while. And
yeah, I'm thinking if there's something like that for the PSP where it'll kind of reset that so it goes back to where you can do that if you have it like plugged into a USB so it gets a little bit of power. Because now I really want to play that game tonight. Damn it! I have no willpower.
Sorry, man. I shouldn't have mentioned anything. It's my fault. but yeah, so far, as I said, I'm just a half an hour into it, so I'm not going to really talk about it much. I need to play it some more.
How are the graphics? That's something that...
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
They're absolutely gorgeous.
The in-game graphics are really good, too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I would say close to PS2 quality.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they rival God of War. Jason said that he thinks that they didn't you say that you thought that they were better?
They're at that level. Yeah, there's things that I think it even does better. So,
mm-hmm.
I am not let down whatsoever.
Yeah, not in any way. It's beautiful.
So some of the environments are a little lackluster. That's kind of where I'm lacking, because you know you mentioned that before with you know the levels kind of they repeat a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah.
But
all right.
No real gripes. Except for that whole casino slot machine bullshit.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that, because you don't have any control over it, and that's a problem for me.
No, and it's a break in the action, you know. You know, I was giving it props for not breaking up, you know, when you go into a battle, but, you know, while you're in it, sometimes 2-3 times that fucking roulette machine can come up, and you have no control over it, and you have no real sense of what the fuck's going on with it. I still don't understand it.
Well, it tells you about it in like the little tutorial emails that you can view in your menu, and you know each thing that you get on the slot machine gives you a certain like a power up, or you know like a status ability, like maybe you'll be invincible for a while, and
Yeah, it gives awesome bonuses. You know, you can level up that way. You can do, you know, you know, all your break attacks and stuff. But
limit breaks. Yeah.
The thing is that it's a break in the fucking action, and that really bugs me.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I haven't actually gotten to the point where it breaks the action for me because I've only gone through like three battles, so I haven't really seen it work. But
it'll come at weird times, you know.
Yeah, I saw it on the you know, GameSpot put up a video review of it. And I went ahead and watched that, and I saw how it works. Like, if you get the same character on the left slot and the right slot, then it pops it up, and it shows you what happens in the middle slot. And it's like, you know, I don't know. It's here or there for me. It is a break in the action, and I can see it getting annoying, but I haven't experienced it yet, so I'm not going to really say anything about it.
Yeah. It's not a deal breaker for me, you know. It's a minor gripe. It's just I don't understand it, and maybe once I understand it more, I'll appreciate it. We'll see.
Yeah. Let's see what else. PS2 played a little bit more Knights, not too much. Just after I installed it on the hard drive, I started playing it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Didn't really get any further in it. I just went through the first stage again with the girl. I don't remember what her name was.
Oh yeah, I can't remember either.
And then more Final Fantasy XII. I got Sam Du replied to my little vent about it last week, and you know he made up some good points about the fact that, and he's right, the fact that the grinding in 12 isn't as bad as like the others, and it's not because and one of the things that helps it a lot is the whole chain mechanic, and I don't know if you guys have played it enough to get the idea of the chain mechanic, but.
Just kill the same enemies in a row.
Right, and the more you kill, the better items they drop, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And it actually gets to the point where if you kill enough of the same enemy, you start getting positive status effects. Like, I was going through one portion where I got my chain up to, like, 30 or 40 or something like that, and, you know, I picked up an item, and all of a sudden it healed me for, like, it healed everyone for, like, 60 hit points each or something like that. And then there was, you know, I saw magic points come back. I saw protect get cast on all my characters. I saw shell get passed on all my characters. So, you know, that's kind of cool. It makes it more interesting to go around and grind a little bit. You know, I haven't gotten that much further in it. I've just, you know, I put a few hours into it. I got all the characters now. And, what's that?
Are you off the Leviathan?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I now have all six characters. And I think they're all about level 16. Some of them are 17 at this point. And I have an NPC that's level 18. So I'm actually getting all my characters up to level 18, and then I'm just going to continue and see what happens.
And I'm going to ask you, for your license board, what are you going for? Because everyone tells me to just get all your augments first. Because Final Fantasy XII doesn't level like the other games do. Like, you don't get a lot of hit points, per se, or stuff like that from just leveling up. So a lot of the augments will be like, plus 200 hit points, plus whatever, 100 hit points. Like, are you going for the augments, or?
To be honest, I'm not even messing with the license board.
Really? And you're making it that far? Is that a problem?
Yeah, I haven't had much problem. I basically, when I get an item or something, or a spell, when I see an item or a spell that I can buy, mm-hmm. I'll get it, and then I'll go in and I'll buy the license for it, and so that, you know, whoever can use it.
Yeah.
I actually, you know, with all the grinding I did, because I was just running around having fun building up a chain, I went and there's an area where there was one of the colored gems that can teleport you, mm-hmm. and there was a shop there, and the guy had a bunch of spells, and I was like, so I sold all my loot to him, and I basically bought every spell on the list that he had. And then I went into my license board, and I gave... like Fran and Panella, I think her name is. I gave them the licenses to cast all those spells. And I mean, literally, all my characters have like 300-400 license points that I haven't used. Well, because I don't want to deal with it. So it's just one of those things where I'm going and, you know, I'm using it when I need to use it. But you know, I have a hint book. I probably need to go in there and look at what the license board looks like and start getting all the augments that you're talking about. Because I did get one.
I just can't believe you made it that far and you haven't had problems. Like, there's been two parts. Like I said, I had to restart the game because I fucked myself over so bad. And then you got through without even using the license board. What the hell? It would have sucked at Final Fantasy.
No, it's just weird. I don't know. It's the game itself is very different from any other RPG I've played, and you know, it still has its nuances that I can't stand. Like the attack gauge. You know, you have a certain amount of time that you have to charge up before you can attack. Well, say you're targeting an enemy, and you're charging your attack up, and one of your party members kills that enemy. Well, when you retarget something else, you have to recharge your attack bar.
Yeah,
I think it's annoying because it's like, oh, I'm going to attack, and you're sitting there and you're getting ready to attack, and the enemy dies. Instead of saying, okay, well, you're dead, so I'm going to attack this guy. Now you have to say, oh, I'm going to attack again. And it's just, I don't know, it doesn't work like, I mean, it would have been better off just allowing me to keep my attack bar and select another target. That's okay. Because it would have made it more like the battle system in the other Final Fantasies. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that. I'm done. I need to get further in it. I really don't want to talk about it too much each week because I know I'm going to play it a lot. But it's also a year and a half old, and I don't want to
bore
people. So
exactly.
I'm going to move on. DS, I played a little bit more Professor Layton, and I ended up doing like 3 or 4 puzzles a week or something like that. So I'm moving slowly at that. But I did pick up Dragon Sword. I just haven't had a chance to play it yet.
Boo.
Yeah, I just picked it up today, like a half an hour before we started the podcast. So I'm gonna rip it open tomorrow and start playing it probably. Well, Jeff, I know it's only been 4 days, but what do we got in news this week?
We got the whole 4 days worth of news, Chris.
Well, that's good. We'll take a break and come back. Oh wait, no, you weren't.
Okay, so last week you guys remember we talked about that bully patch that. Rockstar released to fix all those bugs and glitches with the 360 version of Bully.
Said was going to fix everything.
Supposed to fix everything, but apparently not. Looks like this patch might need some patching. thought of that one myself.
Sure.
That wasn't a headline at all.
I believe you.
Only a Canadian can think of something that dumb. There's some people reporting that since they've downloaded the patch, there's actually been more freezing and other bugs that weren't happening before the patch are now popping up, like some audio problems where audio would cut in and out or make popping noises throughout. Frame rates have seemed to have gotten worse in some areas. But on the opposite end, some people are saying that since they've patched, everything works fine and everything is fine and dandy. So who knows? There's been no official word from Rockstar yet, so we can probably look for this within the next couple of days, see what exactly is going on, and see if this has to do with maybe versions of the 360 that people have. Like there was that other patch, can't remember what game was, where depending on the 360 you had, it did different things. So
Yeah,
so hopefully they get that second patch out there soon, so all those bully fans can stop crying.
I may have actually picked it up, or may have picked it up by now if it weren't for all the issues. So,
oh, really?
I'm just sitting it out.
Wait until it's actually fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Or wait until a sequel, because you know what's going to happen. Speaking of sequels, Ninja Gaiden 2 is coming out in June. Ninja Gaiden 2 demo has been announced for May. So who knows when it may, no exact date. I'm guessing demos usually tend to come out about a couple weeks beforehand, I'd say. So I'm looking about mid-May, maybe last week of May, look for that Ninja Gaiden 2 demo. I'm pretty hyped for this. I'm pretty excited. Yeah, it's been forever since a new Ninja Gaiden game. Well, if you don't count.
Dragon Sword.
Dragon Sword, yeah.
That one doesn't count, really.
No, not really. And even though I've still heard Dragon Sword is mostly kind of like basically like the first one, like same kind of environments and everything, so.
Yeah, I heard that too.
So we'll see.
Not gonna stop me from playing it, though.
No, hell no. I'm definitely picking that up. Again, sequels and more sequels. We all heard about that game Rare announced, 2 years ago now? Year and a half? Banjo-Kazooie 3 for Xbox 360. They're saying that it is going to be coming out in 2008, which is kind of funny because we haven't seen a damn thing on it since that really short teaser trailer many moons ago. They're saying that it's not going to be your traditional platformer, and it's also not going to be guided at 4-year-olds or like younger children like the other games were. So, and they're saying hopefully that people will like or dig what they're doing with the series. So, I'm personally not really looking forward to this. I didn't play either of the other ones for more than 5 minutes anyway. Yeah. I know there's people out there that go crazy for that kind of stuff. So,
I hope they do aim it at 4-year-olds because I'm not interested. I don't know. I hope they don't target it at me. I don't know.
I have no interest in this at all. I mean, I know there are people out there that are interested. Like, I know BSV from GLF is very interested, but you know, just not my thing.
But he likes some shit, though. I mean, you know, he likes Vampire Rain. Move away from release dates and so forth. We're going to go with some delays. The new Call of Duty 4 map pack that is going to be hitting Xbox 360 the first week of April is going to be delayed 21 days for the PS3. No real reason why. I'm just guessing it either just took longer to do the coding, or maybe the PS3, maybe when stuff goes up on the PSN network, it's got to go through more certification process, maybe. Because that kind of seems to be the trend. Like, usually with downloadable stuff, whether it's a trailer or a demo, it's usually about a week probably difference between the two. Or at least it used to be. They're kind of getting better. But still no word on the PC version of it yet. But look for the PS3 version of the new maps come out 21 days after the 360 version, if everything stays on schedule.
Microsoft paid them $50 million.
Of course. I mean, that's... PSN news again. There's been possible breaches on the PSN store. People hacking in and getting at some personal information. Sony's saying that there's not too much to worry about because on the actual PSN store, they only hold a certain amount of numbers or digits of your credit card, so there's no way they can get that information. But then they go on to say that they could have access to people's accounts, which then would mean that they can go into their account, go into the PSN store under their name, and add money to the wallet and then spend that money, which would mean that they have access to your credit card if you have it set up that way.
This is a little disconcerting, really. I mean, it's... I don't know. I don't know what I thought about this when I saw it, because it was like, well, you know, is this going to affect me? And then I thought, shit, it might.
Well, that's the thing. I bet you everyone who read this was like, that's not going to affect me. And the next thing you know, they look at their credit card statement or something, like, who the hell spent, like, $50 on pain stuff?
Yeah, and I haven't looked at my PSN account yet today, but I, you know, it's one of those things that I'm going to be doing as soon as we're done recording, because I'm kind of concerned about it. Mm-hmm. You know, that, and plus, you know, the Boston pack is out. I still have to buy that.
Exactly. Well, then maybe you can breach in there and break into Jason's and then get it for free. Well, on his dollar.
Sweet, I can't wait to break into Chris's then.
Yeah, really.
If I knew anything about computers and hacking into crap, I would not try to do that. That's just wrong. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Are you too honest of a person?
Yes, very honest. Us Canadians, we're too nice, man. We can't lie.
Jeff, this is completely off topic, but I've got XM Radio and I keep listening to like the Canadian comedy station, and you guys aren't too bad. It's pretty funny.
There's some pretty funny shit, man. A lot of comedians are from Canada.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So like,
I'm just, you know, I'm letting you know that I'm trying to learn your culture.
You know, because it's so much different from ours.
Right. I was going to say, if you're looking at Michael, don't look at Toronto or Ontario, because we're just considered like by a lot of people as like a state. So go more east. Go more like Newfoundland or New Brunswick, or, you know, get closer to Maine if you want to see some really crazy stuff and crazy culture. No offense to anyone out east, by the way. I love it out there. It's really nice. I love lobster.
Disclaimer.
PS Europe, is it? I don't know. Some place down in Europe, over in Europe, are saying that they have the release dates for Little Big Planet, Killzone 2, and Resistance 2. They're saying that both Little Big Planet and Killzone 2 should be hitting. And this is Europe dates, by the way, people. But so if, I'm not sure if they're going to try to do kind of like a worldwide release or some simultaneous release or not, if these are indeed true. But they're looking at Little Big Planet, Killzone 2 for September, and Killzone 2, and then Resistance 2 in November, which would mean that Little Big Planet, Killzone 2 are kind of, you know, doing their own thing, where it looks like Sony is trying to put Resistance 2 directly up against Gears of War 2, because that's going to be the month that releases as well. Huh. So I think that's pretty good. I don't mind. I remember the first time I read this, I thought they were going to release everything in November. I was like, are they on crack? That doesn't make any sense. But then I realized they're spaced out. So that's not too bad.
Very bad strategy to try and release Killzone and Resistance in the same month. So
yeah.
It's good that they're doing it the way they're doing it.
Exactly.
You know, I think two months is a good span of time. They're going to have
Go ahead.
What's that?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say that it's also going to be shortly after Haze. It's like they're going to have Haze drop in, what, May or June? And then, you know, Killzone's going to drop in September, and then Resistance is going to drop in November. So they're going to have a steady stream of, quote-unquote, quality FPSs, hopefully. And, you know, hopefully it'll be good for them.
Mm-hmm. I think it's good, too, to put Killzone out front, because if Killzone 2 does actually end up being a big turd, then it's like a couple months later, like, hey, here's Resistance 2, which is going to be total kick-ass, and you'll forget about Killzone. Because if that is still, like, probably the number one hyped-up game, and if that's, like, the last thing on everyone's mind and it doesn't turn out well, that won't be good. And Little Big Planet was finally coming out.
Yeah. Well, I'm very much looking forward to that, so.
Yeah. Exactly. Right, this just in, actually, just to Chris inform me that you can actually pick up Warhawk now on the PSN store for $29.99 from now until April 14th. So all you people who don't have it, go grab it. And then if you want to know what good day to play on Wednesday nights.
That's because, cool, you know, that starts with W.
Right.
Because
it's Warhawk. And yeah, Warhawk Jeff, Wednesday. That's when the cool people play. That's why you haven't been there the past 2 weeks.
Oh, zings. Ooh. Oh, so true.
Hey-o!
I
that was
had to
the
go
best burn we've done on the podcast yet.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
That is pretty sad, actually.
I know. There hasn't been that many Chuck Mom jokes either, but we can't really steal.
Yeah, Chuck's mom is...
That's, like,
really
not our territory. I'm working on it.
Yeah, we got to wait until we have one of them on again. Then we can start dropping the Chuck's Mom jokes.
Word.
We were thinking about going to... what's the convention this weekend? MGC
Midwest MGC? Something.
Yeah. Like my backup plan, you know, if you know we finally met these guys and you know we weren't really hitting it off, I was just gonna start tossing out Chuck's mom jokes.
Oh man, but I found out that Glenn is actually going to Glenn and others are going to actually be doing a roundtable with several of the people of you know the podcasts of that group. Like, I think Gruul, is it Gruul or Gruul from On Tap? He's going to be on it, and then they're going to have like I think Bork or MC Wilson is going to be on it, and I think they actually got someone from Team Fremont on there too.
Awesome.
And you know I hear him talking about it, and he's like, yeah, these are the people we're going to have on the round table. And he goes, and Shino, if he shows up. I'm like, fuck!
That would be cool to get out to one of those. All of us.
Yeah, I really wanted to go. And it was, you know, Jason and I were all set. We were like, all right, we're driving up there. And I send an IM to Crystal, and I'm like, oh, by the way, Jason and I are thinking about going up to Michigan or on this weekend. And she's like...
It's like, no, you're not, actually.
No, she said, oh, that'll be cool. And she goes, wait. We have something planned that weekend already. I'm like, we do? And she goes, yeah, because tomorrow we're getting together with a bunch of with our wedding party to discuss like different things that we're going to be doing and who's walking.
That sounds
with who
like
and all that.
Much more fun.
Yeah, I know.
And you couldn't put that off. I mean, the wedding's not for like 2 more years.
No, actually, we couldn't because Cal is in town this week.
And Cal's never ever coming to town ever again.
That's right.
Okay.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, for me, it was just bad timing. I mean, I checked. My trip the week after, so didn't really.
Chris, there's still time, man. I've got Saturday all to myself. Lisa's going to be shopping with her mom, so just saying, there's still time.
There is still time. And speaking of time, you're going to need a lot of time to beat a certain game that's coming out this fall, Fallout 3.
Oh, really?
Rumored to have 200 different endings. So
I saw that.
Yeah,
how
if you want to
do that, that's maddening.
That is ridiculous.
I mean, shit, Chrono Trigger had 20, and I only saw, like, 3 of them.
Mm-hmm. I know, you know Oblivion has a lot, too, because it depends on what kind of quest lines you beat and what kind of guilds you joined or whatnot, depending on the ending. From what I've heard, I never beat Oblivion, but I think it's the first game I put in, like, 45 hours, 50 hours of a game and didn't beat it.
Mm-hmm.
So, didn't even come close to it, actually. So, Bethesda's saying there's going to be over 200 endings, and at first I was like, that's bullshit. But they were recently on one of the podcasts last week. I can't remember. It might have been IGN GameScoop. I'm terrible. Oh, no, it was OXM, the official Xbox magazine podcast. They were, he was on, one of the guys from Bethesda was on there. He's saying, no, it is actually at 200 right now, and it's most likely going to raise to go even higher. So that's pretty insane. I'm hoping it's not one of those things where you have to do something drastic to get a different ending. I'm hoping it's one of those things where you're just about to beat the game, and if you just kind of make this little other decision, or you just have to get some other item to get a different one, because trying to get all 200 would be just unfathomable. I couldn't, yeah.
Yeah, it's, or if they do it something like the way they did Chrono Trigger, because, I mean, Chrono Trigger was an RPG, and it's much different, obviously, but...
Yeah.
You know, when you beat Chrono Trigger, you got to start over with your character still powered up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you actually get, you know, new weapons or whatever in Fallout, I don't know much about Fallout, to be honest with you, so I might sound ignorant. It's because I am.
I know.
But if you end up starting out and you're more powerful than you were the first time through, and it's easier and quicker to go through the game, that'll make it easier too. But
that is true. Mm-hmm. 200.
Seriously, I mean, out of 20 endings, I only got like 3.
Yeah.
and how many endings does Mass Effect have? Like, what, 5, maybe?
5.
Something like that, I don't know.
Huh. We got one more. There's a sequel that was just announced this week, which I'm sure all of us gangsters are looking forward to.
Hell yeah.
50 Cent Bulletproof 2 has been announced.
Uh-oh.
What do you mean, uh-oh? This is amazing.
I'm saying uh-oh because I'm super excited about it.
Oh, yeah. I guess.
Uh-oh.
You want to get your homie
your back,
on.
Holmes?
That's right.
I'm going to get my homie on.
I'm after school, I'm going to go do some gangstering. How about that? Let's go do some gangstering.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't know. I never played the first one. I just read a bunch of funny reviews about it. And this game sold a crap load, the first one. And
it did.
I mean, there's a lot of little homies out there with their loving their 50 Cent. And, hey, you know. Yeah, well, all the power to them if they like that stuff.
Now, wait a second. Didn't he have, like, something going on with, like, Kanye West? Like, whoever sold the most albums got to stay in the industry? Do you think that's what happened? Like, Kanye West won and, you know, well, 50 Cent?
Hey, yeah.
Like, I 50 Cent can't make music anymore, so now he's got to make these really crappy games? Shit. I wish I knew this was going to happen. Damn it.
I mean, they got to buy their bling, man.
I guess so. They
need to keep the funds rolling in.
And their mineral water.
I'm so white. I'm trying to think of like I don't know, some kind of like.
I have ethnic friends as well, and I can't really think of anything.
Yeah, I just whatever.
I can think of something. I can
Do
think
it.
Of something. You ready?
I'm so ready.
Who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit?
That was good. That was good. I wasn't ready for it though. Wasn't ready for it.
That's all right.
That was good. Who gives a shit? I like that. That was one of your best moments on the podcast, Chris, I have to say.
Oh, great. That's wonderful.
That was great. But that's it. That's it for news.
Not bad.
Cool. Get Warhawk. 25% off. It's only $30. Play with us on Wednesdays. Sounds good.
Where all the not cool people play it.
All right, cool. Why don't we take a break? And we'll come back and we'll talk about digital downloads and do some new releases and emails. Sound good?
Sounds good. Sounds good to me.
I approve.
Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Bye.
This week's episode of the Interactive Distractions Podcast is sponsored by PocketOtaku.com. Rock the chibi.
Okay. Yeah. www.virtualchicks.com.
Hello, big boy. I am your virtual woman. Type anything you want me to say, baby.
Alright, yeah, baby. Let's see.
I am not going to say that, you perverted creep.
What? Aw, oh, man.
You want to hear something dirty? Go get a f***ing life, you f***ing dirty asshole. Why don't you move out of your mom's basement, dickhead?
That was harsh.
Tired of the website and forum boards disrespecting you? Come to PocketOtaku.com. We may not have virtual women or even want you at our site if you do like virtual women, but you'll still have fun in an energetic atmosphere, one devoid of criticisms, name-calling, and Twinkies. And yes, at PocketOtaku.com, we don't care if you still live in your mother's basement.
PocketOtaku.com.
Welcome back.
Hey.
Thank you. We're back. How about that?
We are.
Sure?
Are you guys back? Okay, I hear Jeff. That's good. So all three of us.
Hey, what's even better? What's that? On our break, I plugged in my PSP into a USB thing on my PC just to see maybe it would start charging, and it did. So I must have turned off that whole thing. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to some crisis score after this. So I'm going to make this quick.
You're going to be playing it during Washington.
We're going to skip the future, and we're going to jump right to... And that was a good show, guys.
Right? Wait, what show?
No.
Well, let's talk about some digital downloads then, shall we?
I think we shall.
Yeah. This seemed to be a popular topic. A lot of people had stuff to say about it.
Yeah, I'm surprised. It's good. I mean, it's a, you know, touchy subject because we've got
it
so many
is. A lot things. Of people are,
This affects us in so many ways, you know, whether it's movies, music, games, and it's all over the place. Yeah. So we should be concerned.
I agree. Well, let's continue our trend of starting with email.
I think we shall. We've got one from Dizzy, and Dizzy says, I just can't see it happening, not completely at least, or anytime soon. With digital downloads, there is too much scope for things to go wrong. Physical media can be taken back if it doesn't work. Digital media can't. Besides, having a digital movie or game collection isn't the same as owning all of the discs. There's something satisfying about knowing how much damage you could do and expense you could cause with an axe. Another thing, on consoles, the games will only be able to be downloaded from one place, a place where the prices are decided ultimately by the platform holder. This would make it way too easy for Microsoft or Sony to charge extortionate prices and leave the consumer with no choice but to buy the games or have nothing to play. On PC, it's essential. Piracy is rampant, and the developers need to either figure out a way of stopping this, or they will have no choice but to give up and move to console development. Games could never go completely downloadable unless the consoles come with enormous but cheap hard drives. Also, you can't download a tiny plastic guitar. Sure. Love to you, mother. Dizzy.
He got me with the guitar.
With the guitar.
He's right, though. I mean, that's one of the big things. It's like, you know, that I always bring up Microsoft because and the reason why is because they're trying to now that HD DVD is dead, they're trying to say that digital downloads are the future. Yet the premium system still only has a 20 gig hard drive.
Yeah, that is a problem.
And even if you want to go out and buy the other hard drive, it's so freaking expensive and overpriced. You know, no one wants to go buy it. You know,
I think that's
a very good point that he brings up. It's all about having a good size hard drive for a cheap price.
And right.
Sure, you can get a 120 gig hard drive, but it'll cost you $180.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's very tough for them because of the hard drive limitation. If there was any way to back up your media that you have on your hard drive, it might be feasible. But currently, you know, there's not any legal way to do that.
True. Very
That's
true.
A big
but
problem.
He also brought up Steam and how it's important for PC games because of the piracy that is happening with PC games. And
did he bring up Steam? Yeah, I don't think he did. But
no, he didn't.
I didn't bring up Steam.
Not specifically.
Okay.
No.
Well, he said PC downloads, so I automatically think about Steam when it comes to that. So, but that's another good point is because piracy is so rampant. But
yeah.
I don't know how Steam really helps that, though. Does it? Oh, I guess with the DRM and stuff.
Yeah, there is a small amount of DRM included with that.
That's true. That makes sense.
And it does allow you to back up your stuff too.
Oh well, that's good. I don't have much experience with Steam, so I have to bow to your knowledge.
I heart Steam, muchly.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things, to be honest with you.
I never thought that I'd like it, because I didn't buy into the whole digital download thing at first, and until I saw, you know, the selection that they have and the prices that they have and just how easy it was to buy games and download them, and I'm a believer.
How much was AudioSurf?
AudioSurf is $10,
yeah,
so and
$10,
it got me
awesome.
The game and the Orange Box soundtrack.
That's awesome.
Extremely.
You know, I mean, that's a great buy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I know that Puzzle Quest download over Steam?
Yeah, that's on Steam now, too. I haven't seen a sale on that one. That one's still a $20, you know, game right there. But they have sales on stuff all the time. Like, right now, Epic just signed on, you know, which is huge. You know, it's Valve, it's Epic. But
Epic's on, you know, Valve's Steam. And but no, they've got a great package right now. I think it's like $60 and you get like every Unreal.
Oh, I saw that.
Great deal.
Yeah, that is a great deal. And, you know, I mean, Epic is real close with Microsoft, too, and they're switching over and going to Steam. So, I mean, I think that they're still doing, like, games for Windows stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But
well, Cliffy B's kind of stepped up and said, well, I think we got to start focusing on the consoles and stuff, too.
Yeah.
But I think they do just
stay. A couple things I want to comment with the email. I totally agree. If it does happen, it's not going to happen for a long time, at least in its entirety. He did mention, like, the realistic part is developers can't afford to go digital download right now or anytime in the future because still, I'd say 98% of the sales come from retailers. And if they're going to start being like, well, you know what? We're going to charge cheaper for this download, and then retailers are going to simply say, okay, we're not going to carry your game. So they don't want to piss them off. True. But you mentioned that right now the platformers have it in their hands to put the price on whatever they want, and they might suck us, you know, paying overpriced for whatever. But who knows, like 10 years down the line or less, that there could be just simply more download retailers, so to speak, and there's kind of like the competition online as opposed to, who knows, it's going to be like we have to download this from Xbox Live or from PSN or from whatever. For all we know, it could evolve to the point where it's like iTunes versus whatever the Zune thing is. You can download music or, you know, those like music sharing sites and whatnot.
Yep.
So that there's an opportunity there. It could not go into those hands where it's like we just get screwed and they kind of monopolize everything. But
yeah, I think there'll always be competition to a certain degree unless they're, you know, exclusive titles, you know, which obviously does happen. But I'm gonna get another email. We've got tons to go through. Aces High says, let's get one thing said first off. Digital downloads for games will not happen for a long time. Okay, now that I've said that, I think there is a disconnect between digital data and an actual physical disc that people can hold. I know that I like to be able to hold my game discs knowing that the data is there and won't be corrupt. Plus, you have the fact that you can always take your physical media with you. Very true. That's a very good point.
Yeah. That is true. Like, just bringing games over to friends' houses. Like, I mean, you won't be able to do that. And even now, even with the friggin', like, we've talked about this before, the 360 detachable hard drive, you can bring your hard drive to the people's house, but if they're not hooked up online, you can't play whatever the hell you downloaded to it. That's so, right. It's not quite the same.
Yeah, that's where the whole DRM thing comes into play, and that's kind of the double-edged sword. DRM's great for anti-piracy, and, you know, because that is so rampant lately, I almost want to say that it's a necessary evil, but, you know, that other side is that, you know, you're limited sometimes, and it really kind of cripples you in some cases.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is that there needs to be a way to you know, I mean, there's a lot of dead consoles when it comes to the 360, and there needs to be a way to switch your content over to the new system so that you don't have to be online. I actually read something on Kotaku today that there was a person that actually went through the process and got them to switch the license over to their new system.
Yeah, I read that too. Yeah.
So I think it might be something that Microsoft is now doing, but apparently it was a lot of trouble for him to get it done.
Probably takes a lot of,
I've heard reports where people just, you know, have to go calling them, you know, again and again and again and again just to, you know, talk to someone. But and then they still won't even just switch it. They just keep saying that they can't or whatever. Bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's retarded.
It's an issue.
But even in music now, though, we're seeing DRM not only in downloadable stuff, but also in CDs. Like, I've bought in a few CDs where I can't put on my iPod.
Yeah,
really?
Because of DRM. And that is bullshit. I'm sorry, were they
Sony?
Sorry?
Was it Sony or BMG? Or?
I think one of them was BMG, and then the other two might have been, it's Universal, maybe? Is Universal owned by, no, I don't know. I can't remember the exact whoever who did them, but yeah, I have like two or three that I bought in the last year that do not work. I cannot rip them to my iPod.
Oh, that's
bullshit. Agree with that.
And that's bullshit.
Yeah, that's total bullshit. I picked up three CDs. I ordered them from Amazon. They came like, you know, over the weekend. Or actually, it came Monday, I think. And I ripped them all to my hard drive, and it was no problem.
Yeah, that's what I do with discs. You know, as soon as I get a CD, I rip it to my hard drive, and I'm done. You know, I rarely ever see the box anymore.
Well, I mean, I still have the CDs for my car. You know, I put them in my CD player in my car, but You know, I mean, when I'm at work, I like to listen to my music, and that's how I do it. You know, I drip it all to the hard drive and play it off the hard drive.
Yeah. Oh, another thing that Asai mentioned is that the physical disc you have, where there's something tangible to show for your money, and that's I know for some music, I download some stuff from iTunes, like some albums, but I never think of those as albums I actually own, and I like to like collect things, so I kind of like to go out and buy the CD. And with games, the same thing. Like the problem though is Warhawk, I always forget I even have it for one when I'm telling people what games I have for PS3, and even when I'm I still picture it as like a downloadable game, even though it is like it is a retail game. You can buy it in stores, and it's even if it was just to be on a disc, and that's the only way you can get it, it's definitely worth the money, and I would have got it either way. But I still don't look at it as a full game just because of the fact I downloaded it online, and that's a really stupid thing. I don't know if that's just because we're just so not used to it yet, or what, or just because it's the collector nerds in us, or what. But
I think it's
can't.
The physical media thing is big for a lot of people. I mean, I'm the same way. You know, I like to have a tangible product in my hands. And, you know, I'm not going to pick up a hard drive and say, hey, I have this game and this game and this game. You know, that doesn't make any sense. It's you know, I have, you know, movies. I have movies on DVD and Blu-ray. Period.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, I'm not going to download movies and keep them on a hard drive. It's not, you know,
no.
I don't want to do that.
I want my box art, damn it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
It's an excellent point. But, you know, it maybe doesn't work for everyone. I don't know if I'm just slowly going that route or something, and, like, maybe I'm just more of a cave with it because of CDs, you know, and I just rip them and I'm done with them. But, no, I'm a collector as well, you know, so it's tough for me. It's nice to have an option of either or. And
Yes.
Nine Inch Nails actually just very recently released an album in, you know, several different formats. You can buy just a straight digital download. You can pay a little extra and get a, you know, actual box or a collector's edition. So you choose your own level of involvement, I guess, you know, in that respect. You know, if you just want to pay the $5, you can just download the album. Yeah. $10, you get it, you know, the entire album and a box when they print it. Or $300 for, you know, the complete super duper ultra deluxe version.
If or Trent Reznor actually comes to your house and
delivers it by hand.
Yeah.
From a briefcase that's handcuffed to his wrist.
But I think this serves as a pretty good model as far as distribution is concerned, and I think it can carry over to games, you know, where we can have, you know, straight option just for digital download. But a lot of people are clamoring for, you know, the box art, the physical media.
Well,
so maybe have an option for that as well.
People are definitely clamoring for that, but the thing is, if you know, people have taking the virtual console and Xbox Live Arcade and PSN games, like they're selling a ton. So people have no problem with it. I think it depends. I think there's a price point where it's basically if I'm paying more than this amount of money, I should have this. Because people have no problem. I have no problem downloading Xbox Live Arcade games or whatnot and stuff onto my hard drive and saying, like, that's pretty cool. Like, I wouldn't go to the store and buy it. But if I know if I'm saying, like, if I'm going to spend $20, $30, I want something to show for it. And it's just like, eventually these games we're playing now, is mind-blowing as it is, like years down the road, we're going to be able to download a game like Lost Odyssey or Drake's Fortune, download that onto whatever consoles we're playing, and we won't even care. We'll be like, nah, it's normal. But whatever Final Fantasy 25, we're going to be like, what the hell, I want my, you know, disc and stuff, because, you know, it's going to be however much there then, but hey.
I want my V-Ray or whatever we're going to be on then.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, email from Tears of Ash. He says, I respect digital downloads, but I don't think America really has the bandwidth to have games move over towards the digital format. Personally, I'd like to have them stay as two separate markets. I respect how the digital download services of Xbox Live Arcade and PSN serve as a breeding ground for creativity and independence. I'd hate to see mainstream games completely kick indie devs out of the room. Not to say this island isn't big enough for the both of us, but as it stands, indie devs are getting more exposure because of digital downloads. What would happen to creativity and independence if digital downloads were overrun with titles like Madden 09, Tony Hawk's Lawler Skates, Hamburger Extravaganza, 3030 Adventures in Space? he's
made
my favorite point, actually, is that, you know, the whole digital distribution thing opens up the door for independent developers, you know, because it's tough to get a game pressed into retail.
Well, I don't think it's kept in that realm, change though. If okay, hypothetically,
think it will. I think it will for sure.
I don't think it will because it's you're still going to have that price point difference. You know, you're still going to be able to get a game from an independent developer that's $5.
You will, but like I said before, is because people are so open. Like people will go onto their online with their consoles and see what new kind of games are there, what's coming out, whatnot. And if they click a button, you can, first of all, you can play a demo of them, no problem. But for $5, $10, you can download it. Like I can tell you right now, if a game like The Dishwasher, if that were to come out in the stores, I probably would just bypass it and just be like, okay, I know it's only $10, but I'm here to buy like a disc or whatever. I'm going to go for this other game that's maybe more expensive that I've heard about. But because I can just download it for $5 or whatnot on Xbox Live, I'm not thinking, you don't see those other games beside it. It's like you have the independent games, you have your Xbox Live games, you have the little games, but you don't have Madden 2012 beside it and Halo 7. You know what I mean? You're not being just. Does that make sense?
Like, yeah,
the library is not diverse to kind of.
Not yet.
I guess that's
what we're talking about, is that maybe it should go into that realm or not, you know? We don't see those huge, you know, big name titles alongside the indie stuff digitally, you know, except for like on Steam or something. So you can download, you know, Unreal Tournament 3 or Call of Duty 4. Yeah, I don't know.
I'd like to see how the Xbox originals are selling. I've never seen any numbers on that because they're a little bit more expensive there. I think $12 or no, $15.
$15, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're closer to like I guess what could be. Like the biggest games you can download on the console, they definitely are. Like some of them take up a few gigs, but I'd like to see how those are selling compared to the Xbox Live stuff or PSN stuff.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, I would too.
I actually, you know, for some of the ones that they've been releasing, I don't think they would be doing that well because you could probably go out and find the disc used for less.
It's true, yeah. Cheaper, I just picked up Crimson Sky for $2 or $3, I think, used.
Wow.
GameStop.
Nice.
Yeah.
Stuff. Nice. Yeah, it's excellent for games like Psychonauts, though, that are hard to find. It's perfect.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right, we've got one from Bitch Pig. And actually, Bitch Pig, also Bitch known Pig. As the Sow, pretty much sums up everything that I want to say. So let me say it. So, digital downloadable distributions. In a word, I think it's brilliant. I hate, and I mean hate, the video gaming industry when it comes to retail sales. Is a mandate for GameStop to try and upsell every time they move. I just gave you $60 for a game. No, I don't want to pre-order anything. No, I don't want a list of games coming out. I listen to podcasts and I get RSS feeds, so I don't have to deal with twits like you. I don't care how much you may think that I'll like Super Paper Mario Wario World of the Magic Hallucinating Mushroom 64 or the coveted upcoming Icantina Fisticuffs. And seriously, why are you trying to sell me 3 other MMOs while I'm buying one? You're in the industry, on air quotes, aren't you aware that the sole purpose of MMOs is to suck the gaming life out of someone? Give me Steam or give me death. At its conception, I heard it was terrible, but I recently got into it and I love the concept. Whenever I want a game, just click the download and start playing. There's yet to be a game on there where I wouldn't have saved time by getting in my car, driving to game shit, listening to Greedy McUpsell, and driving home. Even the 6 gig of Call of Duty 4 took a mere 30 minutes before I was killing me some terrorist bastards. On the flip side, I don't think retailing will ever disappear. There's something to be said for actually having the case in your hands or on a shelf displayed with the rest of your geekdom. I gotta say, I love that as well. I would much rather see the in-store purchase of a worthwhile collector's edition style and a cheaper downloadable version for the people that just don't care about having the case to Tiger Woods 2010, The Reckoning. And for the love of God, Best Buy, don't try and sell me a $30 warranty and a $15 DVD player. Use some common sense. All right, I feel better now. Keep making them. I'll keep listening. Bitch Pig.
Jason, go to town, man.
To an extent. Yeah,
I just said exactly what I... That's exactly how I feel. Yeah.
Really?
I love the Steam concept. I do love having a... you know, my physical media. And I think if I love a game that much, you know, I'll spend extra money for it just for hard copy, for a collector's
edition.
That's
the thing, but you've used Steam, right, Jason?
Yeah, a lot.
Is there a discount when you get it on Steam versus retail, or no? Are they the same price?
In some cases, and in a lot of cases, actually.
So a new release. So say that a new game's coming out. it's not going to be
any. It depends. Like I said, you know, Unreal Tournament was just releasing that huge pack for like $60, and you get all the other games. Whereas I think Call of Duty is still regular retail price. Call of Duty
okay,
4.
So right now. See, I agree with Asao in that way that, sorry, Bitchpig. how it would be cool, like, to give that option to just download it for cheaper if you don't want the right. box and you don't want all that kind of stuff. That's cool. That's kind of the way the music way is going now. And there's been a drop off in CD sales, yes, but they're still going strong because people still want to support the bands and, you know, I'm not sure.
Right.
They want all the stuff that comes with it. And I'd be down for that. I'd be more down for that. But
yeah,
at the same time, I would miss going into a store on a big release day and seeing everyone else in that store buying the same thing you are, talking about it, and those big launches. I don't know. They're exciting. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm a gaming nerd. Like, I live for that kind of shit. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd ever want to see that go away.
And I don't know
if it ever will.
I have to comment on his GameStop comments. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas under normal circumstances, 95% of the time, he is correct.
I
feel like talking to the majority of them. But it's one of those things where if you find, you know, a GameStop or a game store that has people that know what they're talking about and are, you know, that you enjoy talking to, then, mm-hmm. you know, it's worth it to go in there. I mean, the GameStop by me, Crystal and I go in there once a week. Because there's two people in there, Lacey, the store manager, and this girl, Teal, that we like, that are just a lot of fun to talk to. They're very passionate about games. They know what they're talking about, you know. And, you know, if you find a place like that, then, you know, it's worth it to go. But on the other hand, when I just feel like going and buying a game really quick and leaving,
mm-hmm.
well, I go to Best Buy, to be honest
right.
with you. So, I mean, I just went to Best Buy today and picked up Ninja Gaiden and Crisis Core.
Right.
I walked in, I got my games, I walked up to the register, you know, they didn't offer me a warranty or anything, and I left, and I don't know, you know, I guess
that's
it's just
another thing, too. He did mention his 6 gigs of Call of Duty 4, goodness, took only, what, 38 minutes or something like that, and I don't know how his connection is, but when I download some stuff off PSN and Xbox Live that are less than a gig, it can take... Like, I've downloaded demos that have taken longer than that. And mm-hmm. I'm an impatient bastard. If I get the urge to go buy a game, and I have literally an EB right across the street from my house that just opened up a few months ago, and I have another EB up the street as well as Gamerama, which I can walk to in about 7 minutes. So I have no patience. I just want to go in there, get it, bring it home and play. I can't sit there and be like, okay, so is my connection going to be good today? How long is it going to take? That's just me with no patience.
that's how I felt yesterday when I was trying to play Warhawk because it was downloading the new firmware.
Oh, God.
I was like, oh, great, 2.2. Damn it. 15 minutes later, okay, I can play, finally.
Yeah.
Well, on the flip side, Jeff, I don't want to get dressed sometimes to go and pick up a game. I know that Best Buy is 10, 15 minutes away from me.
Yeah.
I don't want to make the effort and go out, drive around,
true,
deal with
for
it.
Sure. Like, for me, it wouldn't be like for every game I ever want. It would mostly be just like when I, because like with impulse stuff, especially with Xbox Live and stuff, I just go and I buy it and
that's
it. That's fine for me. But for like big games, stuff like that, or if I, you know, something like that, I would definitely want to go to a store, basically.
I mean, did you guys ever see the scratch off cards that Microsoft put out for Xbox Live games? They had like Worms and Vegas Poker or Texas Hold'em or whatever. So it's like a scratch-off code. You know how you get the points usually?
Yeah,
but these are just games. So, have you ever gotten any of those? Or?
Yeah, I have.
Really?
I got
two. It was like a buy one, get one deal at Target or whatever. But
I actually got three of them in an arcade joystick that I purchased.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got two.
It was like Frogger and Time Soldier and one other one. I can't remember what it is.
I don't know. Yeah, I think I got Uno and... like my vision pack or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, same here. Uno.
Oh, yeah, that's pack. I did get that, yeah.
Uno and Robotron. I think there might have been a third one in there, too. I don't remember.
Mm. I was just curious. So, anyway. I have another email. If you guys want to tune in and listen. It's from Ravenblade. He says, digital downloads are on the road... in, that's for sure. But it's not going to happen just overnight, and I don't think personally at least that it will do away totally with disc-based media. There will always be a market until things totally change for people looking to actually get their hands on something. But the problem with digital downloads right now is just the average speed of internet connections. Maybe if you lived in Japan, you would have super fast broadband. But I know that in the UK, the average speed for broadband is just about 2 megabytes. And that seriously sucks when you're trying to download a demo. That's maybe 800 megabytes, never mind anything bigger. So unless Microsoft wants to spend all the money they have and go around the world giving everyone access to high-speed broadband, their digital download dream might just have to wait a while longer. Signed, Ravenblade. So that touches on what you were kind of saying, Jeff.
And this is my main issue with it, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time. It's, I mean, I have a 5-meg connection, right? And my 5-meg connection usually balances out to be 500 or 600K per second. When I'm downloading a 9-gig file or something like that, I mean, that's going to take a long time. You know, and it's getting to the and all right, here's my issue. This is the reason that I always point to Microsoft, because Microsoft is going towards the digital downloads of movies, and they're trying to bypass Blu-ray altogether. The movies that they put out are only 9 gigs large, right?
Nine gigs for their movies.
Yeah. Some of their movies are 9 gigs. All right,
really?
But yes,
I haven't seen one for 9 gigs yet.
Really?
I've seen them anywhere between like 3 and 6 usually.
Yeah. Well, that helps my point even more. Because the idea is that they're trying to bypass Blu-ray altogether and give you quote unquote HD movies as a download. And they're doing 720p very much compressed with very compressed sound, and you're not getting nearly the quality that you would get off of a Blu-ray, which would be 1080p with uncompressed sound.
Of course not. But you listen to music on MP3, though, right, Chris?
Yes, but I would rather listen to it on CD.
Of course. But you still do it. And a lot of people do.
Well, if I'm sitting in front of my TV, I'm not going to be listening to it. I mean, if I'm sitting in my car, I'm going to be listening to a CD, not an MP3. I would not choose MP3 over CD if I have both available.
Why not?
Because I would rather have the better quality.
Okay.
And how much quality? Because
if you could actually distinguish like a 320K MP3 between
exactly that's my
favorite. A CD, I'd be pretty impressed.
Well, that's and that's the same thing. The HD movies downloadable on there look pretty damn good.
Keep in mind that I have a 9-speaker stereo in my car. Right? I mean, it may not sound like a huge difference to a lot of people, but you can tell on some songs.
Okay. You know? It's even more
Representative in a video format.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree. I can't.
No, it is. But can you tell the difference between 1080p and 720p on a, say, a 27 to 32-inch TV?
Well, no, but I've got a 57-inch.
Right. Okay, I know you do, but for people who have the lower inches, you're not going to see a difference.
Yeah, I wouldn't see much difference.
The jump 720 compressed probably isn't even close to as a jump from 720 uncompressed to 1080 uncompressed. So really, the movies don't look bad. You're making it sound like they look terrible and they sound like crap. They don't. They don't.
You're absolutely right. But as I said, if I have the option to have a higher quality video and sound, then I'm going to go with that.
Right.
Oh, of course.
You know. Well, I will say this too. They're talking about Netflix on PS3 and 360. I think that's a pretty good idea.
I agree. It's hard to do with that.
It is. Another thing,
That's easier for me because, all right, Netflix already does, their plans already have downloadable movies involved in them. You stream the movie directly from Netflix, you know, like their cheapest plan is like $6 or whatever, it's $5. And you get 2 movies by mail, one at a time. And you get like 2 movies or 2 or 3 movies via download. I the thing that stops me from doing something like that is that I don't want to watch a movie on my monitor.
Yeah.
If they were to do it to the PS3 or the 360, well, now I can view those movies on my TV.
Has Sony confirmed that they're interested in this?
I don't know.
I heard that Sony was a rumor.
Yeah.
Okay, because if that is true, that's pretty interesting. Because if Sony is trying to push Blu-ray and they're going to let, if they had a deal going with Netflix with downloadable content, they obviously know that there is that market out there and that people do want this option. Because they would not let that happen. They'd be like, we don't want anything to do with downloadable movies on PS3 because they want Blu-ray.
They've already said that they're going to be doing something with downloadable movies on PS3.
Exactly, which is just
they were talking about the movie the movie download service that they're going to have. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that there's always going to be those people out there that think like me, and they want the physical media that's going to have the higher quality.
Oh, because yeah, for sure.
Even on PS3, you're going to download these movies, and they're going to be 720p or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're not going to have – if you have a surround system, they're not going to have that uncompressed sound. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah. Will you tell the difference? Maybe, maybe not. A lot of audiophiles out there might, you know.
True.
Also, but don't forget
– I think the audiophiles are actually fewer in number than the people that don't really give a shit.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Sure.
I would agree with that.
Also, if you're looking at digital download in terms of movies, if you don't have a PlayStation 3 or Blu-ray player or HD player, there you're saving yourself $400. If you just had a 360 or, say, I don't know if any other kind of downloadable thing is out there, that's another thing that people might look at that value as opposed to taking the down little bit of a downgrade of quality, but they don't have to spend X amount of dollars on an actual player for the discs if they don't have it. All they need is the HDTV and the device that downloads the media.
Right.
Which,
well, to revisit the bandwidth thing real quick, I did say 9 gigs, and I remember talking to someone about a movie that was 9 gigs, and I can't remember what it was. I think it might have been 300. I don't know if 300 is available on live.
It is on there, yeah.
Yeah, I think that one might be one of the 9 gig ones.
Okay.
And one of the things that I was getting at is that right now with the bandwidth the way it is, I mean, I have a 5 meg connection, and that's pretty good. You know, it's not, you know, I know that they have one that's twice that speed in my area probably from like a different provider. My provider only goes up to like 6 or 8 or something. Mm-hmm. But at the speed that I have to download that movie, it would take me 4 to 5 hours.
Off of Microsoft's network.
Yes. Now,
if I was to get max speed, it would take me 4 to 5 hours.
You do realize, though, Chris, with the downloads, you can start watching it before it's done.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm just letting you know. I mean, I'm just saying that that's what it's looking at.
Well,
And it is a streaming thing, and you can start it up early, and that's fine. But, you know, well, what if your connection goes
sour? Well, that's the thing. I would never do that.
All of a sudden, you have to buffer.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It just seems like a hassle in some cases.
I'm more or less playing devil's advocate here because I'm not in for digital downloads really at all, except for in certain instances. So I'm just really busting your balls.
I expect you to. I mean, that's the point of this podcast, right? It's point, counterpoint, right? You know, so.
Yeah.
What's that?
I thought it was just to make fun of Chris.
Well, you know, you guys get plenty of time for that. So, and apparently, the people on VG Evo get plenty of time to do that too. So,
well, in regard to bandwidth, real quick, I have the same kind of experience on Steam that Bitch Pig does. But I also have the same kind of experience that you do through like Xbox Live or PSN. My downloads are extremely slow for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Well, how large is Call of Duty? What did you say?
He said it was 6 gigs.
Yeah.
See, 6 gigs would still take me 3 hours. I don't know how he gets it in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
6 gigs at my max speed will still take me 3 hours.
Well, I downloaded the Vampire the Masquerade through there, and I think that was 4 or 5 gig or something like that, and that came in less than an hour.
Wow. I have a question. Pick me. I have a question.
What you got?
Jeff, what's your question?
Okay, it's for Jason.
Yeah.
True or false, Steam, say there's like a big release coming up and the game is completed early but there's like a street date. Is it true you can actually download the entire game to your hard drive but it will not download the EXE until like midnight that night where it's supposed to release?
Correct. Yeah, that is
true. That's pretty cool.
That is very cool. I didn't know about that. That's an awesome feature.
Yeah, they did that with the orange box actually. Yeah, because you could buy that ahead of time, and then you got like access to the Team Fortress beta, so you could play that game right away. But it did download the files for all the other games ahead of time.
That is,
and then as soon as
it
hit,
that would guarantee to work.
Yeah,
but
it worked for me.
Yeah, good stuff.
So.
Neat
indeed. I have one more email from Ricky Duty.
Okay, cool.
Go. Ricky,
what's he got to say? I don't mind switching to digital downloads as long as the download speed is bearable. I think we already kind of covered this. The only thing that annoys me is when I need to download something like the update for a PC game or beta for an MMO, and the download takes over 12 hours, and I'm supposed to be on a fast cable connection. I can tolerate a couple of hours, but 12 is way too much. I agree. I wonder if we will ever switch for digital downloads permanently instead of buying discs.
My opinion on that is, I guess for some stuff it will be fine to just download, but I don't think that everything should be downloadable. Then we will have to buy a 5 terabyte hard drive just to put all of our PS4 games on. And if that's included on the PS4 and Xbox 720, the systems will be over $700. I don't think that's true. Yes. I don't even want to think about that. So I'm all about downloading some stuff online, just not everything.
Mm-hmm. Actually, if there was no physical media, the games, the systems would be cheaper because you wouldn't have to put a drive in them.
That's true.
That's true, too.
You know?
Touché.
It's like the big three things that people are basically worried about with it are no physical disk or media.
Bandwidth.
Time it takes to download. Bandwidth, exactly. Yep. And basically, not storage, but the possibility, like not being able to carry it. Oh, I guess that would be 2-in-1, actually, not being able to carry it around or whatnot.
True.
So,
and on the flip side, I think some of the pros are definitely opens the doors for indie developers. In a lot of cases, you know, it can be cheaper. Convenience is also a nice thing, too.
Yeah.
Well, quality is the other one. So there's a fourth one in there.
Well, that's if you're talking about, mainly if you're talking about movies. If we're talking mainly about games, that's not really an issue right now.
Fair enough.
Because depending on how big it is. Because one bad story, I remember, like, I guess this kind of relates, was the Halo 3 beta. This is an example of how things could go terribly wrong if one little thing's overlooked. But I got into the Halo 3 beta by buying Crackdown. And I'm not sure if you guys remember this, but
when
Halo beta went live at midnight or whatever night it was, everyone could download it, but it wasn't working for people who had Crackdown because something was messed up. So I was like, this kind of sucks. I waited up, like, you know, I stayed up till about 2:30 in the morning, like, this isn't working. This sucks. Went to sleep, woke up next morning, still wasn't working. Went to work, saw, looked at all the updates on Bungie. Everyone's like screaming at them, whatever, and what's wrong, blah, blah. Got home from work, wasn't working, whatever. Later, it wasn't working. I finally started working, started downloading it. It was taking forever. And I thought, okay, this is taking way too long. It was about 2 hours later, it was at like 3%. I'm like, okay, I can understand. There's like probably millions of people downloading this right now. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to stop it and restart it again. So I stopped the download, restarted it, and it downloaded in about, probably about 20-25 minutes. But the fact is, this is more than 24 hours after it was supposed to launch. This is about 1 o'clock in the morning the next day. Yep. So the next following morning. So that was an example of, if that ever happened to me with a big game release, like, it would drive me nuts because I hated that experience in general. It blew ass.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
I heard a lot about that. I didn't experience it, of course, but I saw the news reports of the frustration of people wanting to get into the beta and they couldn't download it, and just a horrible situation, really.
I know people were like getting banned from live and stuff for.
Oh yeah, because there were more betas
signing
out
up
there
than beta keys were available. Exactly. I don't know exactly, but
weird.
Cool. Well, that's all the emails you said, right?
Yep, that's all I got.
Well, okay, so you visited the pros and the cons. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Overall?
Digital download today. Digital downloads, yes or no?
I'm all for them. Not completely, though. I don't want to see it completely take over the retail and just be done with physical media whatsoever. There has to be a happy medium, you know? I do want to make point again that it opens the door for indie developers, and that's an amazingly cool thing. So I definitely want to encourage that sort of thing.
I like the way it is now, and I wouldn't mind if it just stays this way. Like, just older games, stuff that it's hard to find in stores, stuff where you don't really necessarily have room for your shelves, on your shelves you want to go out and buy it, stuff you've already played through, whatnot. The way it is right now, I think it's perfect. I don't necessarily want to see it advance or evolve more than that, but I'm kind of happy the way it is right now.
Yeah, I'm with Jeff on this one. I like the way they do it right now. And Jason, you're absolutely right. It does open the door for indie developers, and I think that the smaller, bite-sized games are perfect for downloadable content. But when it comes to full-size games, it's hard to imagine in the situation we're in right now. I mean, if I could see full-size games for the PS3 a lot closer than for the 360. And the main reason is because I can go buy any old hard drive and drop it in my PS3.
Exactly.
I don't have to go out and buy a $180, $120-gig drive, you know, that's proprietary to them. And I think that if Microsoft is serious about doing like trying to get downloads going, movies, games, whatever, they need to figure something out with that proprietary hard drive bullshit.
Yeah, definitely.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah. I just don't think it doesn't work. I mean, no. It's not going to work.
No. I was going to download a movie for this last weekend, just kind of give it a shot, whatever, and I had to free up like 5 gigs, and I was like, I don't want to free up 5 gigs.
Yeah.
I have to erase a bunch of stuff. I'm like, forget it.
Yeah, and you're sure as hell not going to go out and buy a 180 gig hard drive or 120 gig hard drive just so you could download one fucking movie.
Hell no.
So, I mean, I think that's the thing that's really stopping me as far as the games are concerned, is just the fact that it, you know, the flexibility isn't there for the 360.
No, not at all.
I could see it working for the PS3, but...
Well, boy, they already have Warhawk, which is close to a full game
that's very true.
And that is very successful, true. So...
And they're doing other games like that. They're going to put, Prologue is going to be... it's going to be downloadable or retail, even though it's...
Eight days is going to be downloadable, I believe, too.
Yeah.
8 days or whatever.
There was another big one.
Little Big Planet was supposed to be, but then I think they canned that idea, didn't they?
No, Little Big Planet is still both, I think, as far as I know.
Oh, it's still both? Okay,
yeah,
cool.
I think so. And then Wipeout HD.
I like the option for having both a lot.
Yeah, I do too. I really like that.
And you know what? This is something that we actually haven't visited yet, and I think we need to. Having both keeps the retailers happy.
Yeah.
Yep. Switching everything over to digital downloads would cause an uproar with retail.
Oh, yeah. We talked about it earlier.
You're talking about GameStop going out of business now, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Which may or may not be a bad thing, but...
I think they've got some extra funds to kind of live off of for a while. They've been doing too well.
After the $1 billion of revenue they made.
But, and they're pushing downloadable content, too. They've got games on their site available for download.
That's true. They have... you can download games right off their site. That's true. I didn't even think about that.
Go figure.
But,
let's not promote GameStop.
Well, retailers are not going to allow it to happen right now. You know, unless they can have a piece of the pie, it's just not. You know, they're going to do everything they can to stop
it. And that comes back to the whole pricing thing. Until the retailers can agree on something, or the companies and the retailers, then that's going to make the price stay the same on both, and not really give an upside to downloading, opposed to picking up the actual disc. Because if they're still the same price, I think the majority of people would rather go pick up that disc in the box.
I would, definitely. You know, because then I have my physical media, and that's important to me. You know, I like...
I don't know.
I like looking at my shelf and seeing, like, 80-something PS2 games, or however many PS2 games I have.
You know? Jesus.
I like seeing the additional icons in my Steam game window.
I do like that. I like that. That's cool, going through, like... Like, you know, the cross media bar in PS3 to see all your games and scrolling through them. That is pretty cool. And that'd be kind of cool. Like, on a system like the PSP, that'd be all about digital download. Because changing those discs and lugging those discs around is a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd agree with that. Because the problem is that they're thicker than CDs, right? So they don't really fit as well. Like, they don't store as well, in my opinion. But again, you have the space issue. You know, how many UMD format games could you get on one memory stick? You know, you can go out and buy a 8 gig memory stick right now, maybe for like $100 or whatever.
You're going to be able to buy this little disc you put on your belt, and it actually stores everything in the air around you. You see,
ooh.
And it's just going to pull from the air, and it's going to kind of they got nothing.
Yeah.
Right. There's that Canadian humor we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, not so funny. Not so funny.
All the other guys get the funny, Jeff. What the hell?
Like I said, I'm from Ontario.
Oh, I see. That's right. The other state.
That's right.
North Montana. Oh.
Yeah. South Minnesota.
South Minnesota. Well, cool. I think we've beaten this one to death. You guys have any last comments?
I heart nice. Steam. And
you do.
They have achievements.
I will say this. I can see this happening for games before it happens for movies.
I'd agree. Actually, I think so.
I really do think that. Because I mean, it's. I don't know. It's the whole. quality thing as far as.
Because everybody watches movies and not, and everyone includes your grandparents and your parents, people have never they don't even know what downloading anything is.
Yeah, so. I agree with that then.
I mean, look at music sales. Music sales are still 85% or so CDs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even with iTunes as rampant as it is right now.
Yeah.
Cool.
Bird.
That was good. A good topic. I like that topic.
My Lego Akuma broke. Damn it.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, I feel free.
Let's rush through this very, very, very short release list.
All right.
So between March 30th and April 5th, that's the dates I have, for the Wii, nothing. For the DS, Rafa Nandel, is that how you say it? Noddle?
That
guy.
Sounds familiar. What the hell is that?
Rafa Noddle Tennis.
Oh, that sounds crappy. Okay, never mind.
but it's a GameStop exclusive.
Oh, no, it's got shit.
Nobody cares. And Toy Shop also for the DS.
Mm-hmm.
360, Call of Duty 4, Buy Me Again Edition. I mean, Game of the Year Edition. PS3, nothing. PS2, Mana Kemia, Alchemists of Al Revis. I didn't get to do any research on this game, but I'm not sure.
I got a quick question, actually, before you go forward. Call of Duty 4 Game of the Year Edition, what does that come with?
I think it has. Doesn't it have the map packs that have been released?
The new map packs? There hasn't been any released yet.
Oh, there haven't been any
released
yet?
The first one comes out in April.
I don't know. I tell you what, while Jason's reading the next email, I will look it up for you.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. It's like.
Yeah, I'll look it up. I didn't have time. I've been so busy.
No, I just didn't. Who knows?
PSP?
I knew it was coming.
Yeah. I'm surprised it's not coming for PS3, though. Or maybe it's coming later.
Eventually.
Maybe it's coming later. I don't know. PSP is another nothing. So, that's it.
That's great. Disappointing.
Yeah, it's a very, very slow release week.
I wish we had more advance notice on games that are coming out for, you know, PSN or Xbox Live.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
For situations such as this.
Well, they had. I heard that the 360, the game that's coming out on Wednesday on 360 is called like Braid, I think.
Not sure.
Yeah, something like, yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
I don't remember. PSN, I never know what the hell's coming out until they release the list on Thursday, so.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. But that is your new releases for the week.
Wow.
Yeah, very, very exciting. I can barely contain myself. Jason?
Yeah.
Do we have any other emails?
We have one other email, and it's from Ravenblade. He hasn't written us in a while. I don't think he likes us anymore. Maybe he does now, because he's writing. Anyway.
You wrote it.
Recycle, recycle, recycle. Yeah, that's Rainbow Six Vegas. Not the other word. Rainbow Six Vegas 2 in a nutshell for you. I don't know what the deal is. Maybe the Unreal Engine 3. Is it an Unreal Engine 3?
It is, yes. Yes.
Gotcha. Tool set comes with something that has preset items, it does, that you just drop into levels because just like nearly everything else using it, Vegas 2 does nothing but recycle the same structures over and over again in its level design and story mode. I'm going to spoil it for everyone now who hasn't played it, but this is what you will see in every single level, just some combination of these items over and over again. Number one. Concrete columns built inside of the wall. Number two, freestanding concrete columns holding something up. Number three, large square raised flower bed type things made out of concrete. Number four, concrete flower pot. Number five, something different now. Blue and white barrels sitting on pallets. Number six, very blocky looking, very yellow construction vehicle. So yeah, mix and match those things in an order, really, and you have seen pretty much every level in Rainbow Six Vegas 2. Got to give it to Ubisoft, Masters of Level Design. Signed, Ravenblade.
Yeah. A lot of people are calling bullshit on Vegas 2, saying that it's an overpriced expansion.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of that. It's just a 1.5 type thing.
It is, know? Yeah. Basically, it's what Black Arrow was to Rainbow Six 3. Budget title too. I think that came out for $30, I believe. The Black Arrow, which is like the expansion to Rainbow Six 3. And I got in an argument actually with my friend who's loving the game, trying to convince me to buy it. And I didn't even say that I thought it was specifically. I said, what I heard, it's not that much of an improvement for Vegas. I can buy Vegas now used for probably about $20. And he's like, no, it's a fun game. And I'm like, I'm not saying it's not fun. I'm just saying for $60, I heard it's just, it's not worth it, basically.
Doesn't sound
like Ravenblade said, yeah, it's recycled stuff. I saw enough Concrete Army too.
Oh.
What?
Well, I was just reading.
Okay.
Apparently, the Game of the Year edition is going to have a token to download the map pack that is coming out.
So that's it.
apparently.
But an actual token or like a code or.
It says expect a token to allow you to download the forthcoming map pack for the game. Not exactly earth-shattering.
No, not at all. I mean, yeah, the Game of the Year edition for Oblivion was awesome. It came with the Knights are
yeah, it came with all
Shivering
kinds
Isle
of stuff.
Expansion. It came with all the expansion sets, a lot of the downloadable stuff, and sold for cheaper than regular price.
Yeah, this bothers me because this edition is actually full price. It's a $60 game.
So they're cashing in on it because it's still selling really, really well.
Which is why I said Call of Duty 4 Buy Me Again Edition.
Mm-hmm. Which kind of makes me say not fair because, I mean, I just bought the game a few months ago and I'm not getting any free map pack.
Well, I actually got lucky. I went into Best Buy one day and they had it for like $38 and I jumped on it.
Oh, of course.
So, you know, I wasn't going to pass that up. But yeah. Well, guys, is that all the emails we got?
Yes, sir.
Just Ravenblade?
You're correct, sir.
Well, thank you, Ravenblade.
It.
Shall we talk about next week's question of the week?
Oh, we're going to do something next week, too?
Yeah, we might as well. I mean, it's episode 20. We have to have something special, right?
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because we're like...
What's more special than us, though? Like, come on. We're going to eat ice cream while doing the podcast?
What could we possibly do to...
We're taking everyone to Cold Stone. No.
Make sure you tip them.
That's right. So they sing.
I don't know what that
Even
is.
Though they didn't sing
oh,
when I
the
tipped
singing
them.
Place. Okay.
Lies. You. Not only you're color blind, you're deaf.
Yeah, that's it. And I
and an asshole.
Singing to me either.
They didn't sing?
No, they didn't sing.
Did you ask them to?
No, I didn't.
They're not
what
doing
am I
going to
say? Hey, here's a dollar. Sing me a song. That sounds great.
My buddy Jason said that you idiots sing. When I give you this dollar here.
And they weren't kids.
Don't make a liar out of my friend.
Yeah.
Come on.
Did they ring a bell or anything?
No. She just said, thank you.
Spit in your food.
Bitch. She's so fired. Which one was it at?
The North Point one.
I don't think people want to hear this.
Yeah, that's true.
Remember, we had people complaining about talking about stuff that only we know about. This isn't stuff that we know about. This is stuff you guys know about. I don't even know what you're talking about.
That's right. All the listeners that felt alienated last week, Jeff was alienated too, so don't feel so bad.
Exactly. So you know what? On behalf of everyone else saying the same thing I am, fuck you guys.
Nice. Well, what we wanted to know is how do you guys feel about female lead characters in video games?
Hot. Well, everyone's going to want them.
Yeah, because they're hot.
So.
And they're unrealistically proportioned.
Not always.
Not always. We'll get into that next week, but yes.
but, so there you go. Send us the answer to the question of the week. You can contact us many different ways. One of those ways is by email. Email at interactivedistractions.com. You can also contact us our preferred way, which is the voicemail line.
Which does still work.
It does still work, and we really do want you to use it. Promise. And that number is 818-528-GAME.
All one word.
818-528-4263. Or you can get us on Skype, Interactive Distractions, all one word.
Little letters. All of them.
Little letters. And we're also doing Google Talk now, and it's interactivedistractions@gmail.com.
One word, lowercase.
That's right.
I got this.
You guys could also visit us on VG Evo. We have a forum there. And we also chat with people. It's fun. It's a great
place. How do we get to VG Evo?
VGEvo.com.
Oh. Yeah, that sounds easy.
It's not very difficult.
How convenient.
And then people should play Warhawk with us on Wednesdays.
But not, like, really
not
play.
Thursdays.
They should just kind of sit not there and Tuesday. Let us shoot them.
And blow them up. Yes, that's what you should do. So, yep, send us an email, send us a voicemail, send us comments if you want. That's cool, too. We look forward to hearing them.
Yes, for sure.
You guys got anything anything to wrap up with?
I want to play no. Crisis Core.
Okay, Jeff wants to play Crisis Core, so we're going to wrap up early.
Okay.
It's all about Jeff. Welcome to the Jeff Show, starring Jeff.
It's all me.
Yes, sir. Jeff.
Well, cool. Thank you guys very much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the show. And we
are going to thank
you
me for talking. I'll take that as a no. Okay.
Are you done? Jesus! You said you didn't have anything else to say.
Well, you know.
Why don't you end us off, Jason? Go for it.
With what? A song? I got.
Yes, that'd be awesome. Go.
Oh, damn it! I don't have
sing,
it ready or anything.
Sing "What's Wanted, Dead or Alive." Go.
No, that song sucks. I'm so sorry.
We know you have. Wait, both of you guys have sang it.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, no, I have not. I refuse
really?
To, actually.
Yeah, I got nothing here. I can't pull up iTunes fast enough. I'm sorry. I wasn't prepared.
Okay, so, thank you guys for listening.
Yes.
I am Chris, and for Jason and Jeff...
This is your song.
We'll see you next week.
Oh, it hurts. It's painful. We're done. Goodbye.
Take it easy.
Bye. It's a little bit funny.
Oh, awesome. My God.